Allah, the most compassionate, the most merciful. Dear brother and sister, Salamu alaikum and welcome to a new episode of today's special from IRIB English Radio. We speak about, are you ready for the month of Ramadan? Today, Monday, 25th of Shaban, 1446 of the Islamic Lunar Hijri calendar, corresponding to the 6th of Isfand, 1403 of the Islamic Solar Hijri calendar, and the 24th of February, 2025 of the Christian Gregorian calendar. Let's bless this moment by recitation of Chapter 3 of the Holy Quran, Verse 135. We come back to the studio and speak about the important point of this verse.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم والذين إذا فعلوا فاحشة أو ظلموا أنفسهم ذكروا الله ذكروا الله فاستغفروا لذنوبهم ومن يغفر الذنوب إلا الله فاستغفروا لذنوبهم ومن يغفر الذنوب إلا الله ولم يصروا على ما فعلوا وهم يعلمون.
And those who, when they commit an immorality or wrong themselves by transgression, remember Allah and seek forgiveness for their sins. And who can forgive sins except Allah? And who do not persist in what they have done while they know?
La ilaha illallah, la ilaha illallah.
Bless your day with contemplation on the verses of the Holy Quran.
When the pious ones do something wrong or do injustice to them, they remember Allah and ask for forgiveness for Him for their sins. It is understood from the verse that whensoever that a person remembers Allah, he does not commit sin. Thus, this forgetfulness and negligence in the doers of good does not remain long, and before soon they remember Allah and make up for the past. We do istighfar not necessarily after committing a sin or an act of a disobedience to Almighty Allah, but it also includes our shortcomings.
Shukran ya Rabbi, shukran. Hadayta qalbi, shukran. Wa darbi, shukran. Shukran ya Rabbi,
shukran ya Rabbi, shukran. هديت قلبي شكرا نورت دربي شكرا شكرا يا
رب. And the topic of today is special. Are you ready for the month of Allah, the month of Ramadan? Yes, Ramadan is a time for spiritual growth, self-reflection, and deep connection with Allah. Ramadan holds profound significance in Islam, both spiritually and socially. It's a time for Muslims to grow closer to Allah, engage in acts of worship, and seek forgiveness. Preparing for this blessed month allows you to maximize its rewards, strengthen your faith, and embrace the true essence of devotion. Ramadan is not just a month of fasting from food and drink. It is a deeply spiritual time for Muslims to strengthen their relationship with Allah, purify their hearts, and seek forgiveness.
The
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. In the name of Allah, the most compassionate, the most merciful. May Allah's peace and blessings be upon the Holy Prophet of Islam, Muhammad, and his spiritual progeny. This is Ali, your host. Today we are going to talk about how can we get the required preparation for entering this holy and blessed month, the holy month of Ramadan. How much people's right do we have on our necks? Well, if we do not have people's rights on our necks, a person is very comfortable. All these basic things immediately show themselves to a person in prayer. I pray more comfortably. My mind does not go to 1,000 places. It goes to 900 places. The less a person has the rights of people on his neck, the lighter his burden is. So let's talk about the scale of our prayers. A lighter burden quickly and instantly show itself in prayer. It has been said also, a salat is a balance. Prayer is a scale. It is such a good scale. See the one who prays comfortably, dies comfortably. The one who prays comfortably gives his life easily. Giving his life has no suffering for him. It has been said again, a salat is a balance. This phrase is the exact phrase of the hadith. This is the scale. Weigh everything in this. Weigh your morals in this. Weigh your actions in this. Every presentation, if it is for Allah, immediately shows itself in prayer. All day long, a person shows himself in prayer. If a day is pure, it is seen in prayer. If it is impure, it is seen in prayer. If it is crowded, it is seen in prayer.
IRIB English Radio presents today's special, every day for 15 minutes.
Be like the sun shining with light, be like a rose spreading its fragrance in every palm.
Today's special. One important question, how to prepare for the month of Ramadan. Repent. We are humans, we make mistakes. But Alhamdulillah, our Creator is forgiving. Prophet of Islam, Muhammad al-Mustafa, peace be upon him and his pure progeny, said, all the children of Adam constantly err. But the best of those who constantly err are those who constantly repent. One must sincerely repent for their sins and wrongdoings before the blessed month of Ramadan approaches. It will clean your mind and soul, guide you to the straight path, allowing you to focus on offering prayer, giving zakat and sadaqah, making dua and pleasing the Lord with acts of worship during the holy month. I think it's very interesting to look at some parts of the Prophet's sermon about the month of Ramadan now. Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him and his family, said, O people, indeed your souls are dependent on your deeds. Free it with istighfar, repentance. Lighten its loads by long prostrations. And know that Allah swears by his might that there is no punishment for the one who prays and prostrates, and he shall have no fear of the fire on the day when man stands before the Lord of the worlds. Some of the people then asked the Prophet, not all of us are able to invite those who are fasting. Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him and his family, replied, Allah gives this reward, even if the iftar or meal is a drink of water.
Sayyid Muhammad Ridwi.
A'udhu billahi minash shaitani al-ayn rajim. Bismillahi rahman rahim. During Ramadan, most communities have gatherings every night for reciting du'as, listening to a short lecture. Firstly, realize the importance of this month. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in his famous sermon welcoming the holy month, says that the month of Allah has approached you with its barakat, mercy, forgiveness, and blessings. In the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it is the best of all months. Its days are the best of all days. Its nights are best of all nights, and its hours are the best of all hours. Secondly, realize the honor that you have been given in this month. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam continues by saying, it is a month in which you have been invited to be guests of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and you have been considered worthy of honor bestowed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So you are the guest of Allah and He is your host. So what is on the menu for us? The Prophet further explains that number one, your breathing in the state of fasting is considered as tasbih, which means singing the praise of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When you inhale and exhale, it's just like you are doing subhanallah, alhamdulillah, and Allahu Akbar. Number two, your sleep in the state of fasting is an act of ibadat, a worship. Number three, your deeds are accepted in that situation. And number four, your prayers are answered too by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Thirdly, with this realization, let us focus on some action items. Number one, asking for forgiveness of sins. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, repent for your sins and raise your hands in supplications at the time of your prayers. For this is the best of times in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala looks towards His servants with mercy, answers to what they whisper to Him, responds to them when they call upon Him, and gives to them what they ask Him, and accepts their prayers when they pray to Him. To realize that there is no point in delaying the process of asking for forgiveness of sins, since time is not in our control. Prolonging sajda for forgiveness of sins. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, your backs are burdened with your weight of sins, so lighten your burden by lengthening the sajda, the prostration in prayers. And he shall not threaten with fire when people will stand in prayers for the Lord of the universe.
Thank you very much for listening to this episode of today's special, and please keep us in your prayers. Fi amanillah.
La ilaha illallah, Allahu Rabbi, Muhammad Nabi, Aliyul Imami, Lafata illa Ali, Aliyul Imami, Aliyul Imami, Aliyul Imami. محمد نبي علي إمامي لا فتى إلا علي علي إمامي علي إمامي علي إمامي.
Take pieces of bread from me and your soul will never be broken. And if I am your haven, You will never be homeless. One whose cloak is me will never be naked. And one whose resort is me will never be destitute. God is above all powers. IRIB English Radio.
Hadith of the day.
Here I am, yearning for your cure. This humble servant will be diverted from you no more, no more, no more.
You are listening to the program Hadith of the Day on Iran Radio with Sheikh Danish, a graduate of Islamic Seminary of Qom.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Salam. Salam and welcome to this episode of the Hadith of the Day. And so today we'll explore a profound teaching of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wa alayhi, where he describes the unity and compassion of believers in this beautiful metaphor. The believers, in their mutual mercy and compassion, are like a single body. When one part suffers, the rest of the body responds with fever and sleeplessness. This hadith invites us to reflect deeply on the strength of solidarity, empathy, and collective responsibility within the community of believers. So the believers, actually the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wished for all the people to be believers in Allah, to be believers in beauty and goodness, and to be good to each other, to be good people and decent. And, you know, Islam means like peace and submission to Allah's will, which is, you know, the God who loves all people. So this hadith invites us to reflect deeply on the strength of solidarity. The metaphor of a single body is powerful and relatable. Imagine stubbing your toe. Although a small part of the body, the pain affects your entire being. Similarly, when a fellow believer faces hardship, it's not just their problem, or it is our collective responsibility to support them. This teaching emphasizes that, you know, the strength of our faith is measured not only by individual worship, but by how we respond to the needs and struggles of our brothers and sisters in faith. So modern neuroscience provides insight into this concept. Studies show that human brains are wired for empathy. When we see someone in pain, the areas of our brain associated with the like discomfort light up, prompting us to help. This is a natural mechanism that Allah has placed in us to ensure mutual care and compassion. So, some practical advices: pay attention to the struggles of those around you, whether it's a kind word or a financial contribution or simply listening. Small acts of compassion make a big difference. and build awareness in your community about collective responsibilities like supporting the vulnerable or addressing crises. Help people. Be a helping hand. And the hadith reminds us that showing care and compassion is not just a moral duty, it's an act of worship. By easing someone's pain, we fulfill the teachings of Islam and align ourselves with divine values. For example, consider how believers around the world come together during times of natural disasters or humanitarian crises. These moments demonstrate the essence of the hadith. Our shared struggles bind us, and our collective actions uplift us. So, inshallah, we would act as a single body. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
You just listened to the program Hadith of the Day on Iran Radio with Sheikh Danish, a graduate of Islamic Seminary of Qom.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad. Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad. Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad.
Let's recite the Quran.
وَإِذَا قَرَأْتَ الْقُرْآنَ جَعَلْنَا بَيْنَكَ وَبَيْنَ الَّذِينَ لَا يُؤْمِنُونَ بِالْآخِرَةِ حِجَابًا مَسْتُورًا.
القرآن نور وبيان. القرآن هدي الإيمان. القرآن مسك الختام.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله على سيدنا محمد وآله الطاهرين
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد وعجل فرجهم.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah, respected brothers and sisters, dear listeners, listening to IRIB English Radio. Right now, welcome to Let's Recite the Quranic Kareem, a series of Quranic sessions held by IRIB English Radio in cooperation with Sevier International Schools. I'm glad having brothers Ma'soom, Hussein, and Hassan with me today in this session. Assalamu alaikum, Ma'soom, and welcome.
Alaikum salam, sir.
How are you?
I'm all right.
Alhamdulillah. And Hussein?
Alhamdulillah, sir.
Alhamdulillah. Hassan, how are you?
Alhamdulillah, sir.
So everyone is good and energetic. Alhamdulillah. Hope you are doing well, brothers and sisters. Let's get started with Surah Hud. Prophet Hud, alayhi salam. On page 221. So today we'll practice the first two verses of Surah Hud. On page 221, before we step into the tajweed points and the recitation and the tafsir points, let's listen to the recitation. Agree?
Yes.
Let's go.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Alif Lam Ra. Kitabun أحكمت آياته ثم فصلت من لدن حكيم خبير ألا تعبدوا إلا الله إنني لكم
Nice, mashallah, mashallah. Nice recitation. So, guys, Let's see what Allah Almighty says in these two verses, the two first verses of Surah Hud alayhi salam. So you've heard the story of Prophet Hud alayhi salam. If you have not heard, from ayah 50 to ayah 60, the story of Prophet Hud alayhi salam is mentioned, okay, in this surah. And the name of this surah, I mean this surah is named after
Prophet Hud
alayhi salam, whose story is mentioned from ayah 50 to ayah 60 of this surah. Okay, so if you want it, you can read the account or the story of Prophet Hud alayhi salam. So, the first two verses, أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم ألف لام راء. So, guys, who can tell me about these letters? Alif, Lam, Ra. You can't read them, for example, Alar or Ar. You can't read it this way as a word, yes? They are called Huruful
Muqatta'a.
The separated letters. Separately, yes. You have to read each letter by the name, right? Mm-hmm. Alif, Lam, and
Ra.
So, what does it mean? Alif, Lam, Ra. It's not a word, so you can't translate it. But there are letters. What are they? What does Allah Almighty mean by that?
Sir, no one knows. Just
nobody
God
knows?
And Ahlul Bayt knows.
Okay.
Know about this.
So, yeah. So scholars have said many opinions, different opinions. One, there are sacred words, sacred letters between Allah Almighty and His Prophet. Okay? And His Prophet. And, yeah, to the Imams as well, I guess. Then some other scholars have said that, okay, there are secrets behind this, okay? The truth about them. But Allah Almighty wants to tell us that, Hassan, look, Allah Almighty wants to tell us, as if Allah Almighty wants to tell us that this Quran is a compound or a kind of, it's written, it's made of these letters. These simple letters. Alif, Ba, Ta, Tha. Lam, Ra, Ha, Mim, Ayn, Sin, Qaf.
Yes.
It's made of these letters. It's not something weird. It's made of these letters, from alphabet letters, but it's full of?
Meaning.
So, I think it's enough talking about this. So, we'll go with the pronunciation. Correct pronunciation of the letters and also the tajweed rules. Inshallah, I want you to learn more about these two verses in the interpretations, okay? In the tafsir books, because there are beautiful, beautiful meanings here. Beautiful teachings are here. Inshallah, in the next session as well, we'll talk a bit about this. So, Brother Masoom, would you please read the first ayah once?
Yes, sir.
Mm-hmm.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم ألف لام راء.
Alright, the first point. If these حروف المقطعة, if they have any mad sign, you have to
stretch it. Mm-hmm.
Because the mad signs are obligatory here for six counts. Alif Lam Ra. If you listen to Sheikh Siddiq Minshawi, he pronounces it very beautifully. Okay? Alif Lam. He stretches it really beautifully, stretches this.
قرآني نبض حياتي قرآني طهر ذاتي قرآني عصمة أمري قرآني طوق نجاتي قرآني نبض حياتي.
How to learn Quran easy? What is the correct way to read the Quran? What is the correct way to learn Arabic and understand the Quran? Be with Let's Recite the Quran.
So So move on. And that jim, little jim, Hassan, tell us what it says.
It allows you to stop.
Allows you to stop. So you could say Alif Lam Ra. You could stop here. Alright? Mm-hmm. Or Ra Kitabun.
We okay. can continue.
Yeah, you can continue. But you're allowed to make a pause. It's better to make a pause then. Mm-hmm. So go on. Kitabun.
كتاب أحكمت آياته ثم فصلت من لدن حكيم خبير. There is always a mistake.
You thought it's an idgham or something or إخفاء, but
إخفاء.
You can repeat it.
كتاب أحكمت آياته ثم فصلت من لدن حكيم خبير.
أحسنتم. When Ra is preceded, Ra, when it's preceded by kind of E sound, pronounce it lightly. مِن لَدُن حَكِيمٍ خَبِيرٍ. Not خَبِير. No. خَبِير. Lightly. No تَفْخِيم. Got it? It's as if it's carrying a كسر with it. Ri. خبير. Okay, not خبير. رأ no. That's one point. Now here, آياته ثم. حسن, say that. ثم.
ثم.
حسن. Hussein, two rules here. With ميم مشدد. First, tell us.
First, غنة sound.
غنة sound, nasal sound.
Yes.
The same as noon with tashdid.
Yes. And second is stretching for two counts.
Stretching it for two counts. That's it. Good job. Min ladun. He said mil ladun. This is called the rule?
Idgham.
Idgham. Ladun hakimin khabir.
Idgham without ghunna.
Yeah, without ghunna. Read the next ayah as well. Alla ta'budu.
Alla ta'budu illa Allah.
Why did you stretch the word ta'budu?
I wasn't obligatory, but I did it.
Ah, good. It's optional.
Yeah.
He chose to stretch it.
Yes.
That's no problem here. There is no problem here. Okay.
إِنَّنِي لَكُم مِّنْهُ نَذِيرٌ وَبَشِيرٌ.
أحسنتم. Good job. إِنَّنِي لَكُم مِّنْهُ نَذِيرٌ وَبَشِيرٌ. Good job, the idgham. Everything was right. نَذِيرٌ. How do you do?
نَذِيرٌ وَبَشِيرٌ.
Make the wow sound. نَذِيرٌ وَبَشِيرٌ. Good job. Easy tajweed rules here. I'll recite these two verses. Listen and repeat. Ready?
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir.
Hassan, ready?
Yes, sir.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم.
ألف لام را.
ألف لام را.
أحسنت. كتاب أحكمت آياته ثم فصلت من لدن حكيم خبير.
كتاب أحكمت آياته ثم فصلت من لدن حكيم خبير.
ألا تعبدوا إلا الله.
ألا تعبدوا إلا الله.
لكم منه نذير وبشير.
إنني لكم منه نذير وبشير.
بشير
صدق الله العلي العظيم
صدق الله العلي العظيم
أحسنت الله bless you inshallah brothers and sisters thanks for being with us listening to IRIB English Radio till the end of this session stay with us in the next coming sessions hope you inshallah stay safe wassalamu alaikum warahmatullah thanks Hassan Hussein and Masoom for being with us see you next session wa sallallahu ala sayyidina muhammadi wa alihi at-tahirin
allahumma salli ala muhammad wa ali muhammad allahumma salli ala muhammad wa ali muhammad
wa ajjil faraja
Let's recite the Quran, a joint production of IRIB English Radio and Xavier International Schools.
صفاته نبع الهدى نلقى الجنان بحبي لن تستقيم حياتنا إلا به هو القرآن والفرقان إليه تنصت الأكوان وفيه تعطر الآذان والقرآن
Ocean of Dua.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين ثم الصلاة والسلام على سيدنا محمد وآله الطاهرين In the name of Allah, the Beneficent, the Merciful Hello everyone, brothers and sisters I am Sayyid Muhammad Hassan Mudarrisi with you with another edition of the program The Ocean of Dua During this month of Sha'ban The month of Almighty Allah's mercy and pleasure, we will try to offer a glance into some of the passages of the whispered prayer of Sha'baniya or the so-called Munajat Sha'baniya. Thank you in advance for staying with us. We'll be back again after listening to some parts of it.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad ilahi لم يكن لي حول فأنتقل به عن معصيتك إلا في وقت أيقظتني لمحبتك وكما أردت أن أكون كنت فشكرتك بإدخالي في كرمك ولتطهير قلبي من أوساخ الغفلة عنك
As you were with us previously, dear listeners, we were discussing this excerpt of the whispered prayer of Sha'baniyya. إلهي لم يكن لي حول فأنتقل به عن معصيتك إلا في وقت أيقظتني لمحبتك. My Lord, I had no strength to desist from your disobedience except when you awakened me because of your love. The Almighty Allah does many things because of his love. He loves the servant, and he wants to see the love of the servants in return. Now, in the beginning, it is that loving the servant causes him to awaken them. Now, regarding this excerpt, beautiful excerpt of the Whispered Prayer of Sha'baniyya, we have discussed the concept of mahabba and love of the Almighty Allah, and now we are discussing the concept of disobedience and how it somehow causes the obscurity of the heart. In the previous episode, we reached one question. What is the reason of this disconnection and obscurity of the heart by committing sins? The Islamic narrations assert that one of the most significant factors that lead to the obscurity of the heart and its alienation from the Almighty Allah are two things: disregard for the signs of the Almighty Allah and committing sins. This committing sins is what we are going to discuss, because in this part we read, إِلَهِ لَمْ يَكُنْ لِي حَوْلٌ فَأَنْتَقِلَ بِهِ عَنْ مَعْسِيَتِكَ. My Lord, I had no strength to control myself, to avoid committing sins, except when you awaken me, because of your love. Now, regarding this factor, committing sins, Allah the Exalted says in the Holy Quran, no indeed, rather their hearts have been sullied by what they have been earning. This verse clearly implies that the sins committed by a person evolve to become a rust and dirt on the heart. They somehow seal the heart and cut it off from the Almighty Allah. We will elaborate more after a short
we have been given the blessed opportunity of witnessing another month of Sha'ban, which is the month of Allah's mercy and pleasure. حَفَفْتَهُ بِالرَّحْمَةِ وَالرَّضْوَانِ. Allah has covered this month with His pleasure and mercy. I thought it might be good to have a little introduction to Munajat Sha'baniyya. The late Imam Khomeini, in many places, on several occasions, emphasized on this Munajat. And in one of his sayings, he said that there are many important mystical points that one can understand from the Quran and whispered prayers of Imams. And then in particular, he mentioned Munajat Sha'baniyya, and he said philosophers, mystics may be able to understand some aspects of these whispered prayers. But if someone wants to really understand, must be a person who has himself achieved a high level of closeness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, so that he can have a taste, can have an experience of what he says. In another place, the late Imam Khomeini said something very important. He said, this Munajat Sha'baniyya is one of the whispered prayers that if someone pays attention to it and follows it and reflects on it, he can reach somewhere. He can achieve some levels of perfection. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to forgive us in this month of forgiveness and to be pleased with us in this month of pleasure. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to bless us, our families, our community, all humanity with His pleasure, with His reward, with the coming of Imam Mahdi ajjalallahu ta'ala farajahu sharif, with forgiveness, with being able to remain always on the right path.
Now, dear listeners, the point is that committing sins disconnect man from the Almighty Allah. But how do they do this? man commits sin until his heart is cut off from the Almighty Allah. And if the heart is disconnected from Allah, it gets inverted. It somehow becomes upside down. It loses all its operative features. It cannot function as it used to do. Imam Sadiq alayhi salam, in this regard, says, nothing is more destroying for the heart than the sin it commits. The heart indeed engages in a battle with the sin, and the sin continues to remain in it until it overpowers the heart. Hence, it becomes turned upside down. He, subhanahu wa ta'ala, is also reported to have said, when a person commits a sin, a black spot appears in his heart. If he repents of it, it disappears. But if he persists in committing the sin, the spot becomes bigger until it overpowers his heart. And if this happens, then he would never become victorious after this. So, dear listeners, this is how sins invert the heart. As you may remember, we said that soul and heart has two important aspects, has two different functions. It has to receive the light and guidance that from the Almighty Allah. And then, based on this kind of receiving, it is that the heart is able to disseminate the kind of light and guidance. This is how the heart is able to manipulate the movements, the stance, the relations, the interactions, the speech, and all the actions and concerns of a person. Now, if the heart becomes like a stone when it cannot receive anything, you cannot expect him to give out and disseminate anything. This is when the sins are said to invert the heart. Man commits sins until he is cut off from the Almighty Allah, and if the heart is disconnected, it gets inverted. Now, Imam has beautifully put these concepts into this word, these words. إِلَهِ لَمْ يَكُنْ لِي حَوْلٌ فَأَنْتَقِلَ بِهِ عَنْ مَعْصِيَتِكَ. I know, I believe, I have understood this fact by my heart, that I cannot control myself from your disobedience, except by your love, except by your help, except by your love that you awaken me, that you inform me of the destroying features of committing sins. Thank you, brothers and sisters, for staying with us. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
شعبان بجمالك جلالك زهوبان والعالم يقول لك احبك يا شعبان شعبان بجمالك جلالك زهوبان
شعبان بجمالك جلالك
Every night and every day, every night and every day, never forget to say, La ilaha illallah, never forget to say.
English Radio, a heralder of unity and solidarity amongst Islamic denominations.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim.
Questions and answers on Islamic beliefs.
La ilaha illallah, la ilaha illallah.
Answering the doubts and questions. and questions and answers on Islamic beliefs.
Allah who is Ar-Rahman, Allah who is Al-Mannan.
Please send us your emails through our email, which is englishradio@irib.ir.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Assalamu alaikum and welcome to another episode of the program Question and Answer on Islamic Beliefs with me, Atta, the host of this program. Within the studio, we have Sheikh Ahmad Danish to answer today's questions. Assalamu alaikum, Sheikh. Welcome to the show.
Thank you very much. Wa alaikum assalam. Thank you for inviting me.
You're welcome, brother. Okay, Sheikh Ahmad Danish, for today's discussion, we want to talk about the fall of the Adam and Eve. And what was the main reason for that? So, in most of the scriptures and the holy books, it is mentioned that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forbade Adam and Eve to consume or use a type of fruit or a fruit of a tree or at least something, okay, which was forbidden. But based on, we can say the books, we read that Satan deceived them, Adam and Eve, and they have used it, and so they were fired, the spirit save, or kicked out of the Eden, so or heaven, or the paradise. So, and the channel through which all this took place was, we can say, aql, or the power of intellect. So that's why we might say that the main reason for the deviation of the human being was the type of aql or intellect. So let's discuss this. I mean, how authentic are these stories and how the Holy Quran looks at the concept of aql or intellect, Sheikh?
Yes. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Yes, what we are referring to here is that amongst our Christian brothers, there are some who believe that in their holy scripture, this concept of eating from the forbidden fruit was basically a deviation of the Satan. And one of the reasons that God became angry with Adam was, nauzubillah, because this forbidden fruit that Adam ate opened up his eyes to the realities of the world. And basically, he developed his power of reasoning, and yes, God did not want that, nauzubillah. And therefore, he was sent out of the heaven and sent to the earth and to inhabit this world and to be redeemed by Christ. May peace be upon him. But the concept of the Holy Quran, the narrations, the authentic traditions is very different from what has been narrated from the Christian sources. And we see that God, first of all, says that about the creation of Adam, says that when God decided to create Adam, he this verse of the Holy Quran, Surah Al-Baqarah, verse number 31, says that وَعَلَّمَ آدَمَ الْأَسْمَاءَ كُلَّهَا ثُمَّ عَرَضَهُمْ عَلَى الْمَلَائِكَةِ فَقَالَ أَنْبِئُونِي بِأَسْمَاءِ هَؤُلَاءِ. So the first quality that we have of Adam is that he has been taught some names.
Yes.
And then Adam is introduced to the angels. And before that, angels had said that if you create Adam, he will be someone who will create a lot of corruption in the world. And he'll shed a lot of blood. So angels knew something about the creation of Adam beforehand. But
right,
God, in order to satisfy them and to say that I know something that you don't know,
all right,
God taught Adam some names, and then these names were introduced to the angels.
Okay.
And the angels were asked that as to what these names are, and the angels were unable to fulfill that challenge,
yes,
of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but Adam was able to answer them effectively.
Mm-hmm.
As a result, God told the angels that, no, I know something about Adam that you don't know, and he has certain qualities that you don't have. So one of the qualities is that quality of ilm or knowledge, which differentiates Adam from the angels even.
That's right.
And so God cherishes this quality of ilm and knowledge. And without reasoning, mm-hmm. there can be no concept of knowledge and reasoning.
And no concept of perfection, isn't
and
it?
And no concept of perfection.
As for instance, we have heard that the angels are sinless people, but at the same time, they cannot get perfected. Neither they can be lowered to the, degraded to a lowest greatest or to the highest one because they do not have this sense of calculation. Am I right, Sheikh?
Yes, and because they don't have this conflict between the worldly desires and the spiritual
and the
desires,
spiritual
and
ones.
They don't have to choose between one of them.
Okay.
So therefore, their perfection is fixed at a certain state. And in order to become perfect, one has to come to the worldly realm and to fight their base desires and to choose the higher desires.
All right.
Which is only possible with humanity. So from the Holy Quran, we get this concept that no, the concept of reasoning, knowledge, even so many verses of the Holy Quran ask human beings that don't you see in the universe, so many signs are there for you.
Mm-hmm.
And so this concept of tadabbur, reflection,
yes.
tafakkur, reasoning, is being encouraged by the Holy Quran.
All
and
right.
we see that the Holy Quran constantly encourages us to reflect upon mm-hmm. the verses or the ayahs of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala spread all across, even in our own selves and in the world around us.
Yes.
So a Holy Quran and the traditions that are asking us to reflect, that are asking us to do tafakkur and to do reflection,
yes,
how can they go against this faculty of reasoning and this concept of tadabbur? And that is why we say that these religions have been corrupted by the followers who or those people who came after the prophets and they entered some of the own stories, some of the own we could say legends, some of the some of their own fantasies in the religion.
But Sheikh, shall we accept this proposition that the source of spirituality is not aql? Is it so? I mean, the we do not calculate, or we do not, it's better to say, have a spiritual experience through our intellectual power or our brain system. Is it so? But our brain system, with all its temptations, can affect our spiritual experience. Am I right?
What we can say is that reasoning is a faculty that has been given to human beings by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so, in fact, reasoning is one of the prerequisites of identifying the signs of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Mm-hmm.
And so reasoning takes man towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala if it is used correctly. So a reasoning that pays attention to the signs of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in our own selves, in the entire universe, in the heavens, in the earth. When we see what has happened to different generations of human beings, this historical understanding, it's also based on reasoning. For example, we have to understand what were the causes for the decay of certain nations.
All right.
What were the causes that certain people were able to prosper effectively.
All right.
This can only be done through our reasoning. And God encourages us to ponder over these issues, to do tadabbur, to reflect over these signs, that why a certain qaum or a certain nation was punished, why a certain nation was able to save themselves.
Mm-hmm.
So this is only possible via reasoning. So our fitra, our spirit, is desirous of this reasoning. So reasoning, which is attuned to in the right mode of following the right strategy, is required and a prerequisite of identifying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Okay.
And this Quranic encouragement towards reasoning is something that we find throughout in the hadith and in the narrations as well.
Because there are some people still nowadays, even in living in the religious communities, who are criticizing philosophy, or even we can't say that's right, Islamic mysticism or something like that, because they believe that there must be a segregation between Hadith and Quran and those quote-unquote rational sciences, namely philosophy or hikmah or something like that. And these two might be in contradiction with each other, or at least sometimes the people must prioritize or express a prefer their rational power into that of Hadith or Quran.